everyone. You are listening to Soul Food A La Carte, episode 17. Got a definition of prayer from John Bunyan. Prayer is a sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the heart or soul to God through Christ in the strength and assistance of the Holy Spirit for such things as God has promised or according to His Word for the good of the church with submission of faith to the will of God. Fantastic definition. Most recent sermon, The Great Confusion. Why did Jesus call Peter Satan right after Peter made the great confession, "You are the Christ"? The question, "Who do you say I am?" is important, but it's not everything. Equally important is the question, who do your ears say I am? What does the way you listen to the hard words of Christ say about who you believe He really is? I also have the sermons from Psalm 32 on here. It was a four-part series, and the most helpful ones that I've found are parts 2 and 3. Part 2, are you a man or a mule? Is there some sin that your heart keeps clinging to and you're reluctant to give it up? This message will motivate you to repent and will show you how to learn the easy way instead of the hard way, like a mule. You'll learn how to know when you're experiencing God's rod and what to do when it happens. This message destroys once for all the insanity that says, "I've already blown it today, might as well get it out of my system and start fresh tomorrow." When you find yourself saying that, ask, would God agree? And would Satan agree? If you cut off your finger with a table saw, would you say, "Well, I've already blown it, might as well cut off the rest"? Part one of that series is titled, "It's So Good to Be Forgiven." And the first half hour of that message will show you how to confess in a way that will bring real lasting change in your life and give you victory over stubborn sins. The rest of the message is designed to help you enjoy your forgiveness. And if you listen, I recommend sticking around for the Q&A at the end of that when there's some important questions that were asked. Part three of the series, My Hiding Place. In order to find closeness with God, you must seek Him with all your heart. Why? Why does God make it so hard to find Him? If He wants us to be near Him, why not make it easy? This message explores the kindness of God toward us in not letting it be too easy. Quick excerpt from that sermon. On her first birthday, my daughter enjoyed the wrapping paper far more than the gifts themselves, some of which she didn't even notice. The wonders of creation and the pleasures of this world are the wrapping paper God uses to present us with the gift of His love. We so often enjoy God's gift like a toddler enjoying her first birthday presents, focusing only on the wrapping and missing the real gift. The final message in Psalm 32 is a summary on what the Bible teaches on the topic of seeking God. How do you seek God exactly? If you'd like a study on that, check this message out. There's an article from Desiring God Ministries, Grab Hold of God, The Importance of Wrestling in Prayer. Here's how the article begins. She says, "I struggle with knowing how to pray. Should I trust that everything is in God's hands and rest, knowing He will do the best thing for me? Or should I cry out to God earnestly to change the situation, giving Him reasons to answer my prayer? Wrestling with God or resting in Him? Which is better? Resting seems godlier, trusting that God will give me what I need without even asking. It seems more holy, more faith-filled. But when I look at the Bible, I see..." And you can read the rest in the article. Interesting article. I found it helpful. And then an excerpt from the sermon Cosmic Treason on 1 John 3, 4-8. Jesus Christ is in the process of destroying the devil's work in your life. Think of how absolutely helpless and ruined you would be at Satan's hands if not for the Lord Jesus Christ coming and destroying Satan's work. In His mercy, He rescues us even when we so many times willingly give ourselves over to the enemy in cosmic treason against Him. He accepts our repentance and restores us. He takes back what the devil steals. We allow the chains to be placed on our wrists and still Jesus breaks us free. We allow ourselves to be deceived, and in His great mercy, He enlightens us. When Satan tugs on your sinful gullibility, Jesus tugs back on the righteousness of your new nature. Satan puts evil thoughts into your head, but the Lord provides the grace to dismiss those thoughts, and His Spirit gives you true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy things to think about. And He enables you to set your heart on things above. Instead of the blows we deserve in hell, He woos our hearts and draws us back to Him. He sustains you with His great and precious promises, and He works in you to will and to act so that your heart desires to seek Him. And when we seek, even with our lame, tepid, distracted, weak efforts, He so often allows Himself to be found by us. When the enemy seeks to shut our eyes to God's glory, Jesus Christ causes His glory to shine right through your closed eyelids. What Satan puts to death in you, Christ reawakens. What Satan steals, Jesus takes back. As the devil fuels the fires of sin in your flesh, Jesus Christ douses those fires with love for God, and He stokes the flames of righteousness and love and zeal for His name. After Satan sifts you as wheat with agonizing suffering, the Good Shepherd restores your soul and makes you lie down in green pastures and leads you beside quiet waters so that you might strengthen your brothers. Satan's efforts to hinder the work of the ministry cannot stand against the awesome, mighty power of Christ's right arm that lays low the nations and that sends the enemy fleeing in fear. And when he tries to kick you when you're down and destroy you with your own guilt, Jesus Christ, the atoning sacrifice for your sin, is your refuge and shield and fortress. He guards you and does not allow more blows than you can take. He picks you up and restores strength to you, and puts the sword you have cast away back into your hand, and He remains by your side in the battle. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but the Son of God laid down His life to protect His sheep. And even when the murderer succeeds, He restores and renews because He is the author of life. That's what our Lord is doing. Let us be loyal to Him in this war. In the news, Trump expands religious liberty protections. You may have heard about this. On May 2nd, the Trump administration took yet another action to protect the freedom of religion. In the closing months of the Bush administration, President Bush enacted regulations protecting medical workers from being forced to carry out procedures such as abortions that violate their consciences. Those rules were rescinded by President Obama and now have been reenacted and dramatically expanded by the Trump administration. It went from 4 categories to 25. This action falls in line with numerous efforts by the current administration to protect religious liberty, such as the creation of the Religious Liberty Task Force, designed to help people like Jack Phillips, the owner of Masterpiece Cake Shop, the President's Religious Liberty Executive Order, the Justice Department Religious Liberty Guidance, in the HHS contraception mandate exception, and the USDA Religious Liberty Guidance clarifying religious liberty protections for those like family business owner Donald Vanderboon, and the nomination of originalist judges who will respect current religious freedom law. Trump became the first president to address the March for Life. He reinstated and expanded the policy prohibiting U.S. foreign aid going to groups that perform or promote abortion, and signed legislation overturning an Obama-era regulation that prohibited states from defunding abortion service providers. The Trump administration has stepped in to assist individual churches that were facing legal action threatening their freedom. So it's just a bunch of examples of how much he's done to protect religious liberty and stand against persecution of churches. I just thought I'd let you know that, because so often the news is bad, and for once there's some good news.